It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. It is air that you wear the next couple of days, folks. Meteorologist Kevin Williams calling for near record heat this last week of May.
Well, the warmest weather of the year to date is upon us. It's going to look and feel like summer around our area the next several days with heat, building humidity, some sunshine, and a thunderstorm here and there.
Kev says a cool down is coming, but not till the weekend. His forecast is yours, coming right up. Crowded beaches, pools, and public parks have health officials sounding the alarm about a possible resurgence of coronavirus. Social distancing went out the window as holiday revelers took advantage of summer-like warmth yesterday.
You see no mask here. You see no fear. We're all just embracing it.
That woman soaking up the sun at a packed pool in Florida, Sam Brock of NBC News.
We are seeing images of people behaving the same right now as they were before the virus.
The mad dash to the great outdoors, forcing cops to fine people who did not adhere to social distancing guidelines.
There are too many people who are coming together.
We had to literally close our doors and stop letting people in the building.
A popular tourist spot in the Ozarks has health officials there urging partygoers to self-quarantine for the next couple of weeks. The floor of the New York Stock Exchange reopened for trading today. For the first time since March 23rd, Stock Exchange President Stacey Cunningham.
We need to get America restarted.
Cunningham says the number of traders permitted on the floor will be limited.
Every person that comes into the building will be screened by a medical professional, and we'll have a questionnaire and temperature checks. Anyone that doesn't pass that screening won't be allowed to enter the building.
Before they can return to the floor, traders also have to sign a liability waiver saying they will not sue the stock exchange if they become infected with COVID-19. Next door, Ohio, getting back to business. Gyms and fitness centers in the Buckeye State reopened today. President Trump expected to have more to say about America's comeback plan at the White House this afternoon.
Together, we will vanquish the virus, and America will rise from this crisis to new and even greater heights.
The commander-in-chief at historic Fort McHenry in Baltimore back on Memorial Day. Mr. Trump threatening to move the Republican National Convention from Charlotte, North Carolina this summer. That's because North Carolina's governor may not allow large gatherings for that political pep rally. Vice President Mike Pence.
We look forward to working with Governor Cooper, getting a swift response, and if needs be, moving the National Convention to a state that is farther along on reopening and can say with confidence that we can gather there.
Republicans are eyeballing Georgia, Florida, or perhaps Texas to host the August convention if North Carolina is unable to accommodate large crowds. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden emerging from his seclusion for the first time in 2 months yesterday. He attended a Memorial Day event in Wilmington, Delaware. Griff Jenkins of Fox News.
That's right. He's out of the basement, donning a black mask. The former Veep out for the first time in over 70 days. March 15th was the last time he was seen outside his home. He was out to lay a wreath at the Veterans Memorial in Delaware with his wife, Jill.
Media critic Joe Concha says the network news kind coverage of Joe Biden could actually hurt him.
I don't remember any Biden interview that has ever made any news because I don't know, quite frankly, what Joe Biden's running on. What's his platform outside of Trump is bad, elect me? I don't know what he's going to do in terms of taxes. I don't know what he's going to do in terms of foreign policy. I wish I could see more questions around that of Joe Biden. There's only about 150 days to the election. I would imagine we'll eventually get there. But for now, he's an undefined candidate. And that's what hurt Hillary Clinton in 2016. You can't just run against a guy and say, elect me because I think I'm a better person than him. You have to have a message. And right now, I don't know what Joe Biden's message is.
That's media critic Joe Concha. SpaceX plans to send two NASA astronauts to the International Space Station tomorrow, weather permitting, of course. That launch scheduled for the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, correspondent Mark Mayfield.
NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine says the mission will mark the first time astronauts have launched from the U.S. since the space shuttle was retired back in 2011.
We have not had a human spaceflight program since that day. But under President Trump, we're making America great again. This is part of his agenda. We're going to launch American astronauts on American rockets from American soil.
President Trump and Vice President Pence are expected to attend Wednesday's launch at the Kennedy Space Center. Liftoff is set for 4:33 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday.
That's correspondent Mark Mayfield. Still to come on the Noon Report, why is exercise not an essential industry? A Pennsylvania diner fights for its rights and a manhunt underway in the Poconos.
Well, good afternoon to all. The heat's on. A summer-like pattern will prevail the next couple of days. I've got the numbers in your forecast coming up. See you in about 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. With coronavirus data continuing to trend in the right direction, more of New York is opening up. Governor Cuomo says the Mid-Hudson region starts its comeback today. Long Island will do the same tomorrow.
If we remain smart, you can increase economic activity without necessarily increasing the viral spread.
The governor says New York will be providing death benefits to frontline workers who succumbed to the disease. Still unclear when gyms and fitness centers in New York will be allowed to reopen under the governor's comeback plan. Robbie Raw runs a gym near Buffalo.
I have a lot of concerns. I mean, I'm a registered nurse. I've been in the health and fitness industry for 40 years. And why our health isn't in phase one of this, I don't get.
Ross says people are anxious to get back to the gym. He cannot understand why places like the Y are still closed.
We've got to open the gyms. This is an important part of our health. And unfortunately, you know, no one's talking about that. People have to exercise. It's paramount. I've been teaching Zoom classes for the past 2 months now. There's over 300 people in my Zoom fitness classes, and they're dying to get back to the gym.
In short, says Raw, the exercise industry is an essential industry, and people are suffering because the gym remains closed in New York. Voters in next week's Pennsylvania primary might not know where their polling places are. Many counties are still finalizing plans to consolidate voting locations due to COVID-19 concerns. Pennsylvania's primary election happens next Tuesday, June the 2nd. Pennsylvania's rural hospitals facing a $10 billion shortfall due to the pandemic. Healthcare Administrator Andy Carter.
We generate 1 in 10 jobs in Pennsylvania. And if we don't make that investment as soon as possible, many of those jobs are going to be at risk in the coming months.
Carter fears rural hospitals could close their doors as a result of the deficit caused by this healthcare crisis. Many local churches are leery to reopen, despite the president last week calling houses of worship essential.
The word that we are receiving is exercise caution and not try to rush back into having services.
That's Chris Spink, pastor of a Methodist church near Buffalo.
God is bigger than a building. Yes, we're not meeting together, but we still worship together. It's not quite the same.
Many churches in New York plan to swing open their doors this coming weekend, despite an order from the governor limiting in-person services to 10 people or less.
At the crux of this is who has the authority to call that congregation to assemble and to worship God. And that's the issue here. Is this the authority of the church to meet, or is it the authority of the governor to control this?
Jason McGuire is a Christian lobbyist with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. A York, Pennsylvania diner fighting for the right to offer dine-in services. The round-the-clock diner providing eat-in options. Despite having its license suspended, restaurant patrons say they support the protest.
We wanted to exercise our freedoms. We still live in America.
You've got to get this economy back and rolling again, and this is the only way you're going to do it.
The diner has kept its doors open despite operating illegally in the eyes of Governor Wolf.
They're doing everything the CDC wants, the 6 feet apart, the signs, everything, and they are being harassed.
I don't care if they have any license whatsoever. As long as I feel like they're capable of cooking food safely, that's all I care about.
The diner's owners intend to appeal any penalty, which could be up to $10,000 a day, from the state of Pennsylvania. Two Pennsylvania state senators have sent a letter to the governor urging him to wave the green flag and reopen the Pocono Raceway. Republicans Lisa Baker and Mario Scavello say NASCAR has provided a safety plan which has been used already to reopen tracks in nearly a dozen in other states. Pennsylvania's Pocono Mountains, the focus of a multi-state manhunt. Cops searching for 23-year-old Peter Manfredonia, a senior at the University of Connecticut, wanted for the killings of two people and the kidnapping of a third. Family attorney Michael Dolan urging the suspect to surrender.
You have your parents and your sisters and your family's entire support. So, Peter, from your parents, we love you. Please turn yourself in.
Manfredonia last seen in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania on Sunday. Starting today, veterinarians are back in business in New York. Pet owners can now take their animals to the vet for regular appointments. Hairstylists and barbers in New York expected to be part of phase two of the state's comeback plan. One hair salon owner in the Southern Tier has started a GoFundMe page to keep businesses alive until they can welcome clients back.
We still have, you know, utility bills coming in, mortgages, rent. We have to pay those.
Lacey Randall owns the Hello Beautiful Hair Salon in Horsehead.
And I was hoping to give each salon a little over $1,000 just to get ourselves on our feet. We're losing thousands and thousands of dollars of revenue. So reaching out to the community by doing the GoFundMe, I was hopeful that it would encourage all the local businesses to do that.
Randall says when hair salons do reopen, they will look a lot different.
We've had to do a lot of things like buy new equipment, set the salons up differently to make sure that we have a safe environment for all of our, you know, friends, family, and clients to come in.
The absolute earliest you can schedule a hair appointment in New York is May 29th. Barbers and hairstylists bracing for a crush of traffic then. Well, sports is next, the two-minute drill with Sonny Delphia.
Thank you, Bob. Let's start with some golf, huh? Sundays, the Match Championship for Charity golf event, now the most watched golf telecast in cable TV history, while raising $20 million for coronavirus relief. Star athletes Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning drew an average of 5.8 million viewers across all Turner platforms. Peak viewership came around the midpoint of the match with over 6 million viewers. The two-on-two event won by
Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, the winners of Capital One's The Match.
Speaking of winning, let's head to Sunday and the Coca-Cola 600.
Off turn four into the checkered flag, Michigan's Brad Keselowski wins NASCAR's longest ever race.
Brad Keselowski for the win. After race leader Chase Elliott opted to pit before overtime, Keselowski held off seven-time Cup champion Jimmy Johnson for the win at the NASCAR Coca-Cola 600. Keselowski becomes the fifth different driver to win. In 2020, Johnson finished second. Elliott worked his way back up to third. Yesterday in Charlotte,
here comes Kyle Busch. Career win number 97 in the Xfinity Series comes in Charlotte for rounding.
That's his 18th win on the Charlotte Oval. The clock is ticking of Major League Baseball is to start the season around the 4th of July. The league and union still trying to work through salary and revenue issues, but will presumably need a resolution by the end of next week in order for a second spring training in mid-June. The NHL moving toward its next phase to return to sports protocol. The league sent out a memo announcing a framework that will allow players and teams to move to phase two following a quarantine period. And Bare Knuckles Fighting Championship is upping the ante, trying to lure former boxing champion Mike Tyson out of retirement, offering him $20 million. Tyson has not fought professionally in 15 years. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphia.
All right, thank you very much, Sonny. Still to come on this busy Tuesday, the Space Coast ready for tomorrow. President Trump threatening to move the convention and a conversation with a local congressman about COVID-19.
Now that the threat of COVID-19 has somewhat dissipated, China is once again turning its attention to smashing democracy in Hong Kong. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Just about a year ago, voters in Hong Kong sent a loud and clear message to Beijing. They would not lose the freedoms they enjoyed. At the time, I wondered out loud just how Xi Jinping and his communist cadres would respond. I feared then and even predicted that Beijing would not sit idly by. Though distracted for a few months by the global pandemic they largely caused, it's now become clear their Eye of Sauron has turned its attention back to Hong Kong. On Thursday, China's National People's Congress announced it would deliberate a new law for, and I quote, establishing and improving the legal system and enforcement mechanisms for Hong Kong in order to, and again I quote, and of course they would claim this, safeguard national security. Now, what this means in plain English is that communist dictator Xi Jinping has had enough of trouble from Hong Kong and has decided to put an end to their rebellion. Unfortunately, there seems to be little the rest of the world can do about this. At least Beijing thinks so. And it's kind of hard to blame them. After all, it already dictates terms of surrender to global corporations such as Apple and the NBA, and it apparently can cow the European Union into changing its findings on COVID-19 so as not to criticize China. No wonder they expect to get away with this too. Now, to review how we got to this point, when the British handed Hong Kong over to China in 1997, a unique one-country, two-systems regime was established that would make Hong Kong part of China, but also maintain its local government, economic and social systems, etc. At the time, China and the UK agreed that this arrangement would last for 50 years. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but we're not even halfway there yet. The natives of Hong Kong have no doubt, by the way, about the seriousness of this threat. Hong Kong lawmaker Tanya Chan told NBC News, quote, I recall the time when I was young and I believed in one country, two systems. And we were going to showcase to the world that Hong Kong people can rule Hong Kong. But now, I'm not even 50 years old, and suddenly all is gone. Now, despite their show of force and so much that we hear about China, it's a lot weaker than it appears. Economic growth there is at its slowest pace in nearly three decades of modern record keeping. Throw in a sinking labor force and the added economic impact of COVID-19, and China's Communist Party's got a big problem on its hands. Their only source of legitimacy to this point has been economic growth. For the past 40 years, the Chinese people have been asked over and over and over to trade certain freedoms away for increasing prosperity. The fragile balance is sure to collapse if that prosperity goes away. That's why it's no coincidence that Xi Jinping has doubled down on his own cult of personality and cracked down on religious freedom just as China's economy began to slow down. The renewed call to Chinese nationalism from Beijing effectively distracted the population from the growing economic worries there and also offered an effective pretext for cracking down on Hong Kong protesters, many of whom, by the way, see their protesting as an outworking of their Christian faith and something for which they're willing to die. Because so much of the Christian activity in China flows through Hong Kong, an assault on Hong Kong is rightly seen as a part of the larger war on Chinese Christianity. Look, we must pray for Hong Kong, including the hundreds of thousands of Christians there. We also must pray against the power of Beijing and specifically of Xi Jinping. And we must pray that world leaders would show the backbone that's been sorely lacking whenever it comes to China relations over the past decade. Look, there cannot be business as usual with such a brutal regime. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Thank you, John. Let's take it outside next. Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. On through the afternoon, summer-like with sunshine. In one or two spots, a thundershower. Most of us are rain-free. High temperatures in the 80s and low 90s. That'll be near some records in the area. Then tonight, balmy, partly cloudy. Some fog again in the valleys late, especially Twin Tiers, 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, hazy sunshine, very warm, humid, 80s to near 90. Then Thursday, clouding up with a few afternoon thundershowers and high temperatures in the middle 70s to the middle 80s.
I got some high, hard heat the next few days. Thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report. Here's what's happening this Tuesday afternoon, the 26th of May. The World Health Organization warned today that countries that move too fast to reopen from coronavirus could see an immediate second wave. The WHO's Dr. Michael Ryan.
You cannot make assumptions that just because the disease is on the way down now that it's going to keep going down and that we're going to get a number of months to get ready for a second wave. We may get a second peak in this wave.
The total number of Americans who've died from the virus nearing the 100,000 mark, 350,000 of us, U.S., have totally recovered from it. Fresh off the long holiday weekend, more of America getting back to business today. heading into Memorial Day, every state had already started some sort of reemergence from virus lockdowns. That is continuing today in places like Michigan, where all retail businesses are being allowed to reopen. Out West, California's governor is out today with new guidelines that will allow churches to reopen for in-person services. President Trump may act to move the Republican National Convention out of North Carolina this summer. That's if the Tar Heel State imposes restrictions on large gatherings.
He may look to move it out of Charlotte if North Carolina's Democratic governor cannot guarantee that coronavirus restrictions will be lifted by then. The president says he wants a packed arena. That would mean 20,000 people shoulder to shoulder.
NBC's Peter Alexander, the Spectrum Center in Charlotte set to host the event in late August. The RNC is looking at alternative cities in Texas, Georgia, or perhaps Florida. For the first time in months, the New York Stock Exchange reopened its iconic trading floor today. The Dow trading above 25,000 right now. The floor was closed back in March when the virus struck the Big Apple. New York Stock Exchange President Stacey Cunningham.
The New York Stock Exchange facade is the face of capitalism, and we can set an example for how America should reopen. Slowly, cautiously, is an important thing for our economy more broadly as we look to get us started.
The Stock Exchange only allowing 1/4 of its traders back on the floor. They all have to wear masks and must sign a waiver saying they won't sue the Stock Exchange if they get the virus. With restaurants and schools closed during the pandemic, some food has never made it off the farm. Correspondent Steve Futterman has more on an effort to change that.
With milk demand down 50%, some dairy farmers across the nation have been forced to dump thousands of gallons.
Our hard labor has gone literally down the drain. It's a little bit disheartening.
Mitch Hancock is a dairy farmer in Utah. Now an industry group, Dairy West, has come up with a way to save the milk from simply being thrown away.
The processors are allowing their employees to continue working, and then we would in turn donate that to the food bank system.
The program is called Curds and Kindness. It's producing dairy products for food banks like cheese and butter.
Steve Futterman reporting it's a launch that space fans have been waiting for about a decade, and it's a step closer to reality. Correspondent Tom Costello says two American astronauts will blast off from Cape Canaveral tomorrow afternoon.
It was nearly 9 years ago that Americans last lifted off from American soil on an American rocket. Ever since, the U.S. has been paying Russia to ferry astronauts to the space station. Now, for the first time, it's up to a private American company, SpaceX, to do the job.
NASA and SpaceX teaming up for tomorrow's launch, weather permitting. The astronauts are headed to the International Space Station. They are set to become the first astronauts to launch from U.S. soil since 2011. Police in Rochester, New York, report overall good compliance with social distancing guidelines and mask mandates. Over the Memorial Day holiday, Monroe County Executive Adam Bello.
By and large, the community is participating. Obviously, there's been, you'll see a lot of pictures of people out and about without a mask on.
He says cops didn't have to issue many citations to the thousands of folks who flocked to places like Ontario Beach Park. Rochester Police Lieutenant Justin Stewart.
People were socially distancing. I saw a lot of people with masks. You know, if you're not going to be 6 feet apart, you're going to want to have a mask on.
Speaking from the deck of the USS Intrepid in New York City over the weekend, Governor Cuomo said masks are the key to getting back to normal.
I'll talk about the masks until I am blue in my face because they work.
Rochester police patrolled by horse, car, ATV, and bike, enforcing as best as possible the mask-wearing rules and social distancing guidelines. Local officials do expect COVID-19 cases to go up about a week from now, just like they did after people gathered for Mother's Day weekend. We are coming up on 25 past the hour, and next at noon, a conversation with Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson about his state's response to COVID-19. Family Life News spoke to the Republican representative earlier today. Anything that you can do in Washington to kind of help, other than what you've done already, but to try to help these struggling small business owners?
Well, we've certainly have provided some significant resources here. The problem is that the governor of Pennsylvania doesn't appear in any real sense of urgency of getting the economy opened back up. You know, as I said from the beginning, our concerted response to this virus should be to save lives, save jobs and save the economy. But one is directly tied to the other. We've been strongly encouraging the governor. Members of the Pennsylvania Republican delegation sent a letter to him that said it's time that he brings others to the table. He needs to engage the state legislature. I think most importantly, he needs to engage our county commissioners. You know, they're the closest to the people. And yet he chooses to continue to offer a declaration and dictates. And that is just not the right approach here.
And he closed the Office of Public Records, so there's a lot of surreptitious activity going on in the governor's office, keeping open his privately owned business in York County while shutting down so many others. That's angered a lot of people in Harrisburg. And his Secretary of State, Dr. Rachel Levine, moving her own mother from a state-run facility to Hershey Lodge back in March, knowing full well the firestorm that was about to hit the state. Do you think, and I know I may be getting into areas that are outside your purview here, but do you think that the Secretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine, should step down over this scandal?
Well, I don't know. It does call into question, where was the Secretary's advice with the governor? If the Secretary recognized that there was an imminent threat to her mother, then where was that advice when it came to long-term care? The people working in nursing homes are just among the frontline heroes. And unfortunately, they wound up with most of the sick cases. Pennsylvania is one of six states where more than 50% of the deaths that occurred in long-term care.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was a lack of professionalism. I think it was a lack of support on the side of the state. I think you raise an excellent question there. And also, you know, where are the other state row officers? Where's the Auditor General? No direction coming out of that office to see this coming, that we could have reallocated better resources. There's just a lot of questions are going to have to be sorted through as we get through this.
Yeah, and I know we'll get to that eventually, and maybe it's unfair to Monday morning quarterback this now, but for the life of me, can't understand, because New York did the same thing, ordering these COVID-19 positive patients into nursing homes. And at least in New York, the hospitals are empty upstate. These hospitals are like, we got room to bring them here, and yet the governor of New York and in Pennsylvania as well back in March put these COVID-19 positive patients in nursing homes, and we're at where we're at. I think that's a question not enough of the media is asking why they did that, GT.
Yeah, and it's like the nursing homes were at the bottom of the totem pole in terms of financial resources. The hospitals that I have, and I probably have close to two dozen hospitals in the 24% of the landmass that I represent, and most of those hospitals, I say probably all those hospitals have laid people off. Very few admissions. Now, there's other parts, obviously, of New York in the city where it's a more concentrated, more dense population, and it's a different picture.
One final question for you, GT, then we'll let you go. Phase 4, the stimulus, this is the component that deals with state and local governments. When can we expect action on this in the Congress?
Well, you know, I don't know if New York is like Pennsylvania, but the action that needs to happen is out of the governor's office. We've, for example, as a part of the CARES package, Pennsylvania has sent $9.7 billion. 55% of that was to go out to counties and local municipalities. And yet, only the top, I believe, five counties, the larger counties, those with population over 500,000, got any money.
Huh.
And the other 60-some counties in Pennsylvania, we've got nothing. They've got nothing from our governor. So, you know, before Washington sends any more money to states, we need to see that the monies that we've already committed and deployed, the checks have been written, they've been cashed and deposited at our state capitals. We need to see how that money, first of all, we need that money sent to where it needs to be, and that's out to our counties. What's being proposed right now, what we're talking about, what Mrs. Pelosi passed out of the House with bipartisan opposition, it was all based on emotion and projection of emotion. It was not based on data. It was not based on science. Business owners, they need to open back up, and they're going to take whatever measures they need to in order to keep both their customers and their employees healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But there doesn't seem to be any trust coming from state government that we as citizens have the capability of making those kind of sound decisions.
That is Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson, and this is Family Life News. Coming up, 100 years of radio.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The stage is set for near record heat, summer-like conditions over the next couple days and nights. The heat will not last beyond the weekend. A cold front that's set to deliver showers and thundershowers later Thursday and Friday. We'll see to it that cooler air returns this weekend. But in the meantime, for the day today, on through the afternoon, summer-like with sunshine. In one or two spots, a thundershower. Most of us are rain-free. High temperatures in the 80s and low 90s. That'll be near some records in the area. Then tonight, balmy, partly cloudy. Some fog again in the valleys late, especially Twin Tiers, 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, hazy sunshine, very warm, humid, 80s to near 90. Then Thursday, clouding up with a few afternoon thundershowers and high temperatures in the middle 70s to the middle 80s.
All right, feels like summer. Thank you, Kevin. And finally, at noon today for Tuesday, as radio marks its 100th anniversary this summer, correspondent Sam Litzinger takes a look at the radical transformation this medium went through during the 1960s.
Celebrating a century of sound. I think the 1960s were another of radio's golden ages. In the early part of the decade, DJs like Cousin Brucey and Wolfman Jack were like audio hailstorms roaring their way into listeners' ears with speed and panache. They were on the AM band.
This is Tom Donahue, back in action. This is KSAN in San Francisco.
By the mid-60s, there was growing attention paid to the FM band because people like Tom Donahue were starting to play not 3-minute songs, but sometimes 13-minute songs by a new generation of musicians.
Because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is.
Radio was undergoing yet another upheaval. It was splitting into formats, specific kinds of programming aimed at specific audiences. To survive, radio went from being a something-for-everyone medium to a something-just-for-you medium.
We've only got 1 hour in which to blow your mind.
I'm Sam Litzinger.
All right, Sam, love the series celebrating a century of radio. We will continue it tomorrow during the Noon Report. And that's the world we live in. Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.